but I'm going to do a Christmas message. What my plan is just to look at the Christmas story, to draw some practical encouragements out of it for us, looking at the people surrounding the Christmas message. And you know, Christmas is almost the end of the year as well, so it's time for encouragement to start a new year well, and you know, just remember the Lord's birth. So we're doing a Christmas message. I won't keep you any longer than needed. I know it's Christmas Eve and people have got things to do. I enjoyed it. I don't know how much you're going to enjoy the message, but I thoroughly enjoy looking at scripture and looking at narratives, and seeing things in common and drawing them together and trying to make a story out of them, make something out of them. So I enjoyed it. I don't know how much this is going to go, how well this is going to go. But anyway, right the way throughout scripture, from the very beginning, I remembered this morning even that God has promised a deliverer. Like, it's not something new. And all the way through the Old Testament, God promised that he would send someone, a mighty deliverer, someone who is able to save us, someone who is able to rule, like we remembered this morning, a king, someone who can sort all of this out. You know, we just even on the sidebar, maybe this is just the way my mind was working. So everybody's waiting for something, even nowadays. And as we go through this message today, I'd like you to remember, we're still waiting for somebody, aren't we? Yeah? It's not that we stopped waiting when Christ came. We are still waiting for Christ to come now, aren't we? Yeah? But everybody's waiting for something, isn't it? We know the Muslims are waiting for some guy to come back and be their king and lead them. Hindus are waiting for some incarnation of Krishna or something, and Buddha's waiting for the incarnation of Buddha. Everybody, aliens are, the atheists are waiting for aliens. Everybody's waiting for somebody to come from the heavens and come and deliver us and sort this world out. But we've got a glorious hope, don't we? We are waiting for the King to come. Yeah? Just keep that in mind, yeah, as we go through this. But the Old Testament's full of, they were waiting for somebody as well. All the way through the Old Testament, God had promised this deliverer. Someone is coming. Yeah? We know that the very first conversation that God had with fallen man was in the Garden of Eden, wasn't it? Yeah? Remember when Adam and Eve sinned, they departed from God. The very first conversation God had with fallen man is based solidly on the promise of this coming Savior. Someone who would come and would crush the head of the serpent and whose heel the serpent would bruise. Yeah? And God deals with men right the way through all of the Old Testament, all of pre-Christ human history. God speaks to the patriarchs. He speaks to the fathers of the Old Testament on the basis of this coming Redeemer, this coming Savior, this coming King, somebody he would send. Time and time again, we know that he appears to them. He appeared to that passage we read in Exodus this morning. Yeah, right before that, God actually says God appeared to those guys. They see this. They see someone, this mighty God, who is coming. Yeah, someone is coming. And it goes all the way, whose comings are from old, this one who was born, this a son that is to be given, pre-existing, the son that is to be given, and a child that is to be born. We know that all the way through Isaiah, it's just prophecies of this coming king. Yeah, all the way through all the prophets, Zechariah, all the prophets are prophesying about this coming person who is going to arrive here and is going to sort out all of this. And then it all stops about 400 years before Christ is born. There's nothing. That's it. No further revelation, no word, no prophets, no nothing. And there's the silent period. And we've just started Galatians. And as we go through Galatians, we're going to have this idea, and we're going to be told, but you mustn't get this idea. You know, I'm guilty of it as well. Thinking that Judaism is this failed religion that is out there and we need to reject it at all costs. Yeah? It is wrong. What it turned into is what is wrong. But what they believed in the Old Testament is good, and it is right, and it produced good, devout people. Yeah? The true fulfillment of the Old Testament, true Old Testament Judaism, leads nowhere but to Christ. It's the obvious conclusion. In Old Testament Judaism finds its maturity in biblical Christianity, this is the only logical outcome, because God had promised a deliverer. And when the fullness of time has come, we're going to do this in Galatians, the fullness of time has come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. That's the purpose of the Old Testament. The purpose of Judaism was to lead us to Christ. And as we look at this, with that in mind, basically, with that in mind, we'll maybe open to Luke's Gospel. And I'm going to do, there's going to be a lot of Bible readings today. Yeah, I'm not going to, Tommy, I'm not going to apologize for it. Rather you hear the Word of God than me, because I'll just drone on for hours. But the Word of God is mighty. So we're going to do a lot of reading. It'll be from chapters 1 and chapter 2 that we're going to read. We're probably going to read most of it, but it's scattered times throughout the my talk, or if you want to call it a sermon, throughout the sermon. With those two things, with chapter 1 and chapter 2, keeping that in mind, I would like to look at four people in the first two chapters of Luke's Gospel. Four people. Luke chapter 1 and 2. Luke chapter 1 and 2. There are four people. Now, well, I know Luke's Gospel starts out it's a man and a wife, and then a girl, and then a man and a wife, and some shepherds, and then a man and a woman, and it's a bit complicated. You need arrows and a mind map and everything. But I'm just going to take two people, yeah, from the beginning, and a man and a woman from the beginning, a man and a woman at the end, and then we're going to look at the birth narrative in the middle, which consists of a husband and wife, and then some shepherds. And we're going to look at the two men together, so it's going to be Zacharias and Simeon on either side of the birth narrative. We're going to look at them together, because they go together, because they're both described the same way. And then we're going to look at the two women, Mary and Anna, yeah? And we're going to look at those two, because they're both described the same way. And then we're going to look at the birth narrative in the middle. And we're going to see if we can draw some encouragement out of it. And the first thing that we're going to notice, we're going to deal with the men first. And the first thing we're going to notice, what we need to keep in mind, is where are these people and what are they doing, yeah? Where they are and what they're doing. And they all have, and they're all looking for somebody, by the way. They're all looking for something from God. They're all waiting for God. So we look at this idea of Judaism, and Judaism did. It produced these devout people who were ready to be used by God. Yeah? We're coming to the end of our year. Yeah? And the question is, are we ready to be used by God? Are we right? Are we waiting? Are we ready for God to use us? Are we vessels that are able to be used? What's interesting is that, I mean, this is also a sidebar. What's interesting is that, you know, sin was brought into the world. Women were instrumental in bringing sin into the world. Yeah? At Eve in the Garden of Eden. But it's such a wonderful thing, and the grace and wonder of God is that a woman is instrumental in bringing men out of sin, as being the mother of the Son of God. And I think it's so wonderful, isn't that? But that's just maybe beside the point. You know, many times I did this message about 20 times. It's just papers all over the desk. It's a mess. But anyway, so that was on a different message. But that's interesting, though, yeah? So Judaism produced some of these really righteous and devout people who were looking for God and were following his ordinances. Maybe we'll just start by reading chapter 1, verse 6 and 6 to 11. Luke chapter 1. Verses 6 to 11, and they're describing Zacharias and his wife, yeah? And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of God, ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. A whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of the incense, and there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing at the right side of the altar of incense. So the first thing we'd like to notice about this man, Zacharias, is that he was a devout man. Scripture calls him devout, that he was actually a good man. He was righteous before God. You know, what we need to make and point out is that all these people that we're going to deal with were not sinless. They were not sinless in the sense that they'd never sinned, but they were righteous before God. They were devout, they were following God's ordinances, they were following God, and they were ready vessels for God's use. Zacharias and his wife are described as according to the law and the ordinances of God. They were upright people. They were men who were seeking God, men who were men and women who were diligently looking for the Lord, ready to be used by God. And he was in the place that he was supposed to be, wasn't he? He was a priest and he was in the temple. Yeah. So he's a man who was ready to be used by God. He was in the temple and he was doing what he was supposed to be doing, wasn't he? Yeah. And that's a challenge for us, isn't it? Yeah. Are we ready? Are we living holy lives? And are we at the place we ought to be? And are we doing what we ought to be doing in our lives? That's the first challenge. And Zacharias got this right, and he was ready, and he was used by God. We look next at Simeon. If you turn over to chapter 2 there, this is just after the birth narrative, the birth of Christ. Yeah? Verse 25, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same was a just and devout man, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do after him the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of the people, a light of the Gentiles and the glory of the people of Israel. Let me just read that for. Here we have this other man, Simeon. Yeah, he was also described as just and devout, and he too was where he ought to be, wasn't he? He was found in the temple. Yeah. He was led by the Spirit, and he's doing what he's been told to do. He's doing what he was supposed to be doing. Yeah, he was following the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, and as being led by the Spirit, he ended up going to the place that he was supposed to be, and he found something there, didn't he? And we'll get to that a little bit later. So there's these two devout men, two righteous men. The Bible tells us that Simeon was led by the Spirit. He goes there and he finds what he's looking for. Yeah, he's doing what he's supposed to be doing. Yeah, and there's both of these men as well. Are looking for something. So they're in the place that they're supposed to be. They're doing what they're supposed to do, but they're both looking for something. Yeah, there's something that's on their mind. And we read, just turn over with me again. Sorry, I know I'm doing this scatteredly, but it'll all come together. Right, verse 68 of chapter 1. Yeah, John the Baptist is born. Remember, Zacharias loses his ability to speak. He goes dumb. Yeah. When John is born, writes his name on the chalkboard, yeah, and his tongue is loosed and he's able to speak and he prophesies, he's filled with the Holy Spirit, yeah. Verse 68, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people and hath raised up a horn of salvation. This is what he's looking for, isn't it? So this holy man who is in the temple, who is in the place he ought to be, doing what he ought to be doing, yeah, looks at this child, sees that God has done something here. This thing that God has promised all of these centuries ago. He is diligently and he's patiently waiting for this. And he sees its fulfillment. And he has raised up a horn of salvation. Isn't that something spectacular? All those years, those people are waiting for that horn of salvation. It's the strength. The strength of salvation. He sees this in the birth of Christ. He sees its fulfillment. He sees it's coming to a close. It's coming to a head. Yeah. And he's praising the Lord. He's raised up a horn of salvation for us of the house of David. There's that king again, isn't it? That king that is coming. He knows that someone is coming, a reigning king, and he's looking for this guy. As he spoke by the mouth of the holy prophets, been prophesied about all in the Old Testament, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all those who hate us, to perform the mercy as promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father David, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him, all the days of our life. And thou, child, talking about John the Baptist now, shall be called the prophet of the highest. And thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way. Knows the Lord is coming. Yeah? To prepare his way, to give a knowledge of salvation unto the people for the remission of sins, through the tender mercies of our God, whereby the day spring on high. From the day spring from on high hath visited us to give light to them that sit in darkness. That's us, yeah? And he's tying it back to that prophecy in Isaiah, yeah? That there's a light to the Gentiles. Someone is coming, Yeah, it's the dawning of a new day. And this man is waiting for that, isn't he? He's diligently waiting and he's looking for this new dawning, this child that would come. Yeah, this light to the Gentiles. Yeah, light to them that sit in darkness, which is me, which is you, by the way. Yeah, to sit and guide our feet into the way of peace. What a wonderful thing. He's waiting for someone, isn't he? Yeah, so he's in the place he ought to be. He's doing what he ought to be doing. Yeah. And he's waiting for somebody. And he finds the fulfillment in this baby of Christ. In Christ. Yeah. We look at Simeon. Simeon's the same thing, isn't he? Yeah. He's where he ought to be. He's being led by the Spirit. And he's following the Spirit. He finds himself in the temple. And what does he find? Yeah. He finds what he's looking for as well. He's looking for this guy. Yeah. The one who would. Yeah. That he should not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ. He is looking specifically for the Lord's Christ. This is a very these are very specific people that they're waiting for. Zacharias isn't waiting for some general kind of thing. It's a very specific person he's waiting for. And this man as well, Simeon, he's waiting for a very specific, the Lord's Christ. Not just any Christ, the Lord's Christ. And when he sees him, he says, I can go now. I can depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen your salvation. He's holding this baby in his hands. And he says, finally, I have found it fulfilled in Christ. The thing that I'm waiting for is found in Christ. The light, same as what Zacharias is saying, this light to the Gentiles, the glory of the people of Israel. I found him in Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah? So there's these two men, both in the place they ought to be, both doing what they ought to be doing, and they find their, what they're looking for in the birth of in Christ. Now we go to Mary, this young lady. This is quite an interesting one here. We read chapter 1, verse 28 there, starting. The angel came in and said to Mary, Hail, thou art highly favored, and the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. When she saw him, she was troubled at the saying, and cast her mind to what manner of salutation this should be. The angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, and he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Most High, the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, that king again, yeah? And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary again unto her, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath conceived a son in her old age, and this is the 6th month with her, whom is called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Right. I've often wondered when I read the story of Mary, what are the criteria that God was using to measure who she should choose? Have you ever wondered that? What made Mary different from the rest of them? What set her apart? Can you imagine this young lady, since that prophecy all those centuries ago that a virgin shall give birth, shall conceive a son and thou shall call his name Emmanuel, God will be with us. Can you imagine all the young Jewish girls, how they prayed, how they were looking for the yearning of their heart that they would be the one through whom this deliverer would come? Can you imagine that? Here's this young Mary, and she's been chosen, she's been given the honor to be the one by whom the Son of God would come into the world. Can you imagine what this woman was like? Can you imagine her character? Can you imagine what she was praying for? Yeah, we did a bit there with David a couple of weeks ago, and you hear that the prayer of Samuel's mother. Yeah, can you imagine what Elizabeth was praying? She was no more than a teenager, a young girl. And I think it's so lovely, as if to know God, as if to know the devilry that will be done in her name. God doesn't say anything about her character, doesn't say anything. We can read it from the text, can't we? It is sacred to God alone. Yeah? How wonderful this young lady must have been. Hey, can you imagine what kind of person she was? That God chose her, that she's going to be the one. Yeah? Can you imagine the humility? I don't think there was a character like her. Hey? Nobody, I think, would measure it to her. She was so humble, so kind. I'd just love to understand, love to have heard her prayer life. Yeah, But I don't think she's that kind of girl or kind of woman that would have wanted big things to be written about her. What we know about her is that she was named Mary, that the Holy Ghost came upon her, that the power of the Most High overshadowed her. Yeah, and she was favored by God to be the one that would deliver the Son of God. Yeah, that she would be the one that would carry the Son of God. Yeah, not perfect, but it's wonderful. Yeah, even those verses there, maybe this is also a bit off the point, but here's this verse is wonderful. Yeah, that the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, because of that, yeah, the holy thing that is born of thee shall be called the Son of God. It's not Mary, it's because of what God did. God took this, and I'm sure, lovely and as wonderful as she was, this sinful woman, this sinner, yeah. And the power of God overshadowed her, and the Holy Ghost came upon her. Yeah. She produced this holy thing, the Son of God. Yeah. Can you imagine that situation? Can you imagine the responsibility? Can you imagine how big a thing that is to carry? Yeah. She's never been with a man. Yeah. But a wonderful display of her faith as well. She goes straight away, doesn't it? Yeah. She sees this, she's been waiting, she doesn't imagine here, imagine that happening to you, imagine that happening to you. You're sitting there, angel comes, says you're gonna, I'm not a guy, but I'm not a woman, but the angel says you're gonna give birth, and you're like, okay, fair enough, that sounds reasonable. That's okay then, that's happening. Hey? She must have been aware of those Old Testament prophecies, she must have been waiting, she must have been thinking about it. Yeah. That when that angel arrived and told her that news, she's like, okay, fair enough. I accept that. Yeah. That's a possibility. Yeah. How wonderful that. Yeah. She gets up, but she doesn't wait until there's a bump and she's got to explain it. Yeah. She gets up straight away. It says Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant. Yeah. She's just found out, so she's just getting pregnant. Yeah. So she's not showing. She gets up, she goes down, and she stays with them for 3 months. It says at verse 40, 56, she's there for 3 months, yeah, which adds up to 9 months, doesn't it, roughly, yeah, which is 9 months, which is the time that Elizabeth should be giving birth, because she's 6 months when she found out, 3 months later, around about the time that she's giving birth, yeah, so she doesn't wait until there's something that she has to explain, she doesn't wait till she's got a stomach, she has to explain, she gets up straight away and she goes there, yeah, she goes and she tells Elizabeth. Yeah, what a wonderful thing. And Elizabeth and they both praise the Lord, don't they? Yeah. She's not waiting until she needs something to explain. The Holy Ghost comes upon her and she's blessed. She's overshadowed. Yeah. The child that was born of her is going to be the one that upon his shoulder the government will be. And for a young woman, yeah, that's a big responsibility, isn't it? Imagine having to tell your husband. Imagine having to explain that. Yeah? And say there's another devout couple, isn't it? Joseph and Mary. They both understood the prophecy. They both understood the responsibility of what they were carrying, of what was about to happen. Yeah? And Joseph was going to put her away, but then he didn't. Yeah? So we go from this young woman to an older woman, 84 years old. Chapter 2, verse 6, or 36. Chapter 2, verse 36. Yeah? And there was one, Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe Asher. And she was of great age, and she lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity, tying that back to Mary, yeah? And she was a widow about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers day and night. And she came in an instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of all of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. So you have this old lady, yeah? She's drawing on years of experience. She's also where she's supposed to be. She's in the temple, isn't she? She's in the temple. And she's also doing what she ought to be doing, isn't she? Yeah? She's serving God with fastings and with prayers, day and night. Constantly serving the Lord. She's where she's supposed to be, and she's doing what she's supposed to be doing. She too finds what she's looking for. She was looking for someone, wasn't she? Yeah? She was looking for the redemption of Israel. She was looking for a redeemer. She finds him in the person of Christ. And anybody who wants to listen to her, she tells him about this child. This is him. This is the guy that we've been waiting for. The one who is going to redeem Israel. And it's a very specific person as well. This is the guy. Yeah. So we go from this. Yeah. trying to get go hurry up a little bit here. So we go from this. Let's read chapter 2. This is maybe the main part of the message. Yeah. It came to pass in those days that there went a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this tax was first made by Cyrenius, the governor of Syria. All went to be taxed, every one to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, and to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. There were the same country shepherds, abiding in a field, watching over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and glory shone around them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you this day, for you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you: you shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising. They're not where they're supposed to be, by the way. Praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. It came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said one to another, Let us go even unto the Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all they that heard wondered all these things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, as it was told them. So in this story, we have a pregnant woman, don't we? We've all seen pregnant women. They're not very mobile. They're not fast and they're nimble on their feet. They're slow and it's heavy and it's a burden to bear. Yeah, we find this pregnant woman and her husband. They're looking for a room. They've made this long journey from Nazareth all the way up to Bethlehem to get taxed. She's no doubt riding on the back of a donkey, not very comfortable. She's fully pregnant. She's ready to give birth. They're going knocking on indoors, and there's no space for them. There's no room for them. They are where they're supposed to be, aren't they? Yeah, they were told to go there. The governor said that they need to go there to be taxed. So they're where they're supposed to be. They find themselves in a field, because there's no room in the inn. Yeah? They find themselves in a field. In this field, there's a shed, a cattle shed. And this young lady and her husband seek shelter in the shed. I don't know who you live in. Ireland, there's a lot of cattle sheds. They're not nice places, are they? They're not clean. Yeah? They're no place for a pregnant woman, are they? That's not where you find pregnant women. That's not where you find women who are going into labor. That's not a place to deliver a child, is it? To bring a child into the world, you wouldn't go to a cattle shed. Yeah? But here's this pregnant woman and her husband. They find themselves in this cattle shed. In the middle of Bethlehem. Yeah? In this dirty, smelly shed. You know, cattle, they don't have beds. They don't sleep on they'll sleep on beds. Yeah? Cattle don't lie down on beds. So what was she lying on? What did she give birth on? You know? I've worked in cattle sheds before. The floor is not clean. The floor is no place to be lying. You don't lie down on the floor. I wonder if Joseph put something down for her to lie on. So it wasn't clean. Yeah? And here's this woman. She's just been told that she's going to give birth to the Son of God. Yeah? This woman who the Spirit of the Holy Ghost had come upon. The power of the Most High had overshadowed. She's sitting in this cattle shed. Is she where she's supposed to be here? How can it be here? How can it be that she's where she's supposed to be? She gives birth to this child. I don't know how that could be here. Yeah. Here's this man, Joseph. He picks up this child, wraps it in swaddling clothes, And the best place that you could find to put this child is a cattle feeding trough. Have you seen? You've seen a cattle feeding trough, yeah? I wouldn't want to be in a cow. I wouldn't touch a cattle feeding trough, would you? Full of saliva of animals. Yeah, we have these mangers. We go through town and we see the mangers. It's this lovely scene. It's amazing, isn't it? You know, the way they do it. And it's just perfect. Yeah? It's just perfect, isn't it? Look at that. Oh, it's so lovely. It doesn't look like that. Yeah? The highest place they could find to put this child is a cattle feeding trough, a manger. They take the Son of God, they put him in a cattle feeding trough. In front of everybody. Yeah? The angel saw that. Well, Satan saw that. In front of everyone. Yeah? Nobody even knows. It's two people in a shed. Whole world is in darkness. Nobody knows that the Son of God is coming to the world. Is he where he's supposed to be, though? It can't possibly be right. Can't be right. That can't be where he's supposed to be. Everybody else seemed to be in the right place, didn't they? Yeah? Zacharias was in the temple. Yeah? Mary was at home with her husband. Mary was at home where she's supposed to be. Yeah? Anna was in the temple. Yeah? What's his name? Being led by the Spirit. Simeon. He's where he's... Everybody's supposed to be where they're supposed to be. How can it be that the Son of God is stuck in a manger? How is that right? And just up the road, you find shepherds. That's where you find shepherds. You find them in the field. They're where they're supposed to be, aren't they? Yeah? Shepherds are sitting in a field. And they're doing what they're supposed to be doing, aren't they? They're minding cattle. They're minding their sheep. Yeah? That's what shepherds do. If you want to find a shepherd, go stand in a field somewhere. Sooner or later, you'll come across a shepherd. Yeah? And they're minding their sheep. They're not looking for anybody, are they? Not yet. They're not looking for someone. No, no. They're sitting there and they're chewing their grass, you know, those shepherds, I don't know what they do. They're just sitting there shooting the breeze, I don't know. Yeah, these shepherds are waiting, yeah, just minding their sheep. And all of a sudden, the heavens just open, yeah, and this angel appears. This angel stands before them, and what does this angel say to them? Behold, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Man. Hey, imagine having that message. Imagine what the honor of that angel. Today is born unto you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. There is a Savior who is coming to the world today. And it's almost like, by the end of this thing, it's almost like heaven can't hold back anymore. Yeah? And you know those 12 legions of angels that God had to hold back, that Christ didn't call when he was crucified? Do you remember those 12 legions were led out now? Yeah, they were allowed out. Yeah? And nothing can hold it back. Yeah? And just a couple of shepherds. Just shepherds standing in a field. Not kings, not shepherds. Yeah? Sitting in a field. Yeah? And all heaven bursts open. Yeah? And these angels, suddenly, there was a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God. Yeah? That never happened before, is it? This was an absolutely unique event. And what was the sign given? Can you read that? You read that, yeah? And this shall be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Well, according to heaven, Jesus Christ was in the exact place he ought to be, isn't he? He's where he's supposed to be too, yeah? That's what he's supposed to be doing. And you wouldn't believe it if the angels in heaven didn't tell you, would you? You'd think that there was a mistake. You'd think that there was something had gone wrong, yeah? Something must have by our own standards, yeah? We would have thought that something was amiss. But heaven bursts open and the Son of God is exactly where he's supposed to be. This is God's plan, yeah? You know, there's nobody Christ can't reach, yeah? You know, if he would go there, you know where he went for me? You know, 30 years later, the Son of God would be found on a place that he ought not to have been as well. Yeah? 30 years later, the Son of God was on the cross. Yeah? Exactly where he was supposed to be. Yeah? You know who he was looking for? Me and you. Yeah? We weren't looking for him, were we? I know I wasn't. Yeah. The Son of God came looking for me. It's a wonderful thing. Yeah? You started it looking for me in an animal feeding trough. Did you find anywhere more dirtier? Shows you how far he would go to find us. Wasn't he? Yeah? It's a physical demonstration. That great step. Yeah? Not only of humiliation of him from heaven to the manger, from manger to a cross. How far away we were. Yeah. He came to that manger and he went to that cross looking for me, looking for us. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah? We had to remember we're going to celebrate Christmas tomorrow, but yeah. What a wonderful thing. The Son of God tabernacled among us. He's not here. But the Son of God became flesh and dwelt among us. That he came to the sinful earth. That he was willing to go from the very courts of heaven to that animal feeding trough. And not only from that to the animal feeding trough, to the cross of Calvary. To redeem us, to save our souls. What a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful God we worship. You know, as we go out into this new year, I wonder if we can just maybe even make a promise to ourselves to be where we're supposed to be. To do what we're supposed to be doing. Yeah? And to be ready. Yeah? Our job is to wait, isn't it? Yeah? We're waiting for somebody. Yeah? I've been saved, I've been redeemed, I've been taken from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. Yeah? But I'm waiting for someone. Yeah? And just like those people in the Old Testament were looking forward to that coming Messiah. Yeah? I should be living, we should be living our lives ready, where we're supposed to be, doing what we're supposed to be, supposed to be doing, looking forward to the coming glory of the Son of God. He's coming for us. One day there's going to be a trumpet, and this day-to-day, mundane, repetitive life, yeah, is going to come to a glorious end. The trumpet is going to sound, and we're going to be caught up. Eh? Are you looking for that? The rest of the world certainly is. No, every other religion certainly is, atheists included. They're all looking to the skies for something. But we as Christians, we have a glorious hope. You know how we can be certain that he's coming? Yeah? Now we can be certain he's coming. Because he's come already. Yeah? He promised the first time he'd come and nobody believed him. Nobody was ready. Yeah? Like some people were ready. Yeah? But the world as a whole wasn't ready yet. Yeah? But his people. Let us be ready. Maybe next year. Yeah? Maybe before the end of this year. Maybe this year still. Yeah? One day he's coming and he's going to take us home. Yeah? We'll be with our King. Yeah? Maybe we'll just close in prayer. Dear Lord God, we just do thank you. Lord, we thank you just for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for what he means to us, Lord. We thank you that he is, Lord, that he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We thank you that, Lord, he is that holy thing, that holy one, the Son of God. Lord, we just do thank you just that he has come into the world. We thank you that he is, Lord, that from the very beginning he was doing what he ought to be doing. The very next passage in Luke's Gospel talks about how he is about his father's business. Lord, in the place he was supposed to be, doing what he ought to be doing. Lord, we just do thank you that he ultimately went to the cross and redeemed us and saved us from us. Lord, we pray that we would be faithful. Lord, that we would be where we ought to be, doing what we ought to be doing. Lord, for your honor and for your glory, we pray these things. Lord, just to look forward to the day when we will be called away, when Jesus Christ will come and return and take us home to be with himself. Lord, just to pray that we would live in expectation of this, knowing that, Lord, that the days are few, that the time is drawing near. Lord, we pray that you would just encourage us over this festive season, build us up, and Lord, help us to remember the Lord Jesus Christ and who he is and what he has done for us. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.